How old is the earth? I am far from an expert on this one. And I hope to do a lot more reading on it in the future. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, yeah, Ben, you need to do a bit more reading. Fine, okay. So somebody who asked this question pointed out, you know, in Genesis 1, you've got these days. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then God rests on the 7th. And you've got evening and morning in between each day. And surely you're supposed to take that as literal 24-hour days. Isn't that kind of obvious? 7-day week of creation. Well, there are various ways that people have interpreted it over the years. And I think the only question really is whether we've not understood primarily the Bible correctly, but also whether we've understood general revelation, creation itself, correctly. Because there's a lot of data out there that has to be taken into account even as we try to understand Scripture itself. You can't kind of put your head in the sand, you know, go away and try to read the Bible and understand it fully. No, you need to keep your eyes open and look around you. And I think that really begins to be where the challenge is. I'll tell you what the four main views are of how old the earth is. You can subdivide them into young earth or old earth. Young earthers generally think the earth is roughly between 10 and 6,000 years old. And they would take Genesis chapter 1 pretty literally. Six literal 24 hours, and then God rested. That's a very natural reading of it, isn't it? But, as I hinted just a second ago, an issue with that is that you've got a vast array of data out there that's hard to reconcile with a universe that's just 6,000 years old. I mean, a lot of scientists say, you know, the universe seems to have been made 15 billion years ago. There's all sorts of things that point to that, all sorts of things that point to the Earth being 4.5 billion years old. How do we match that up with an Earth that seems just a few thousand years old from what the Bible says, if we take it literally? And someone who takes a young Earth view may say, well, maybe God did create it that long ago, but he made it appear billions of years old. That's why people are taking the wrong conclusion. Now, I'll be right up front and say, well, why would God make his... I mean, surely all truth is God's truth. He would make general revelation and special revelation agree, ultimately. So why is it all this data out there in general revelation that's saying one thing, and special revelation seems to be saying another? Maybe we're unnecessarily excluding legitimate interpretations of God's word. However, I'm not going to exclude the young earth view. I think maybe God could have made it look that old. Three other views. There's the old earth gap view, which is, if you look at, if you've got a Bible in your hands, it's going to be handy tonight. Genesis chapter 1. Some people say the earth is old and there's a gap between the first verse of the Bible and the second. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that was a long time ago. And then something happened, and the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Some judgment happened, perhaps, they say. Maybe because of Satan's fall, which left this situation of darkness, often symbolic of God's judgment. But the problem with that is that, well, light was created in verse 3. How could the first creation have existed for billions of years if light was created on the first day of that kind of new creation after the judgment? Plus, if you take it that Satan had fallen and the earth was judged after verse 1, but why would God say in chapter 1, verse 31, that everything was very good if there was severe ructions in the angelic realm, if a number of angels had become demons? Seems to be So have some weaknesses, that interpretation. But I'm not going to judge you if you happen to hold it. I just put it there for your consideration. Another view is the old earth day-age view, which is where you take each day in creation as representative of a vast era of history. Now, the Hebrew word yom for day can also mean period. And it has that kind of meaning in chapter 2, verse 4. Now, the NIV kind of glosses it over, but the phrase, when the Lord God made the earth and heavens, is actually literally in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. So It wasn't just one day that he made it. It was, well, 6 days if you take it literally. But even then, day means a period. So why not billions of years? That's what an old Earth day age view person would say. So they'd say God isn't teaching an exact chronology. It's just kind of painting you a rough picture of the series, of the sequence. But there's a problem there, isn't there? For example, the birds were made before the animals. Well, we'll come to that later. Third view, which I think has got a lot going for it, you may disagree, that's fine, but I'll just put it out here for your consideration, is an old Earth literary framework view, which I think applies just to Genesis 1. In other words, that Genesis 1 is giving us a picture of creation that's not meant to give us a chronology, a timeline of what's happened. So, I think that's very similar to other bits of the Bible. Judges, chapter 4, gives you the narrative of Deborah, well, the Lord using Deborah to get a victory over God's enemies. And chapter 5 of Judges follows that narrative with a song. Narrative and song. Chronology followed by picture. Also, Exodus 14 and 15, you've got the crossing of the Red Sea, and then a song about that. Narrative, then picture. And here I think the pattern's just reversed. So you've got picture, then narrative. So I do take Genesis chapter 2 as a chronology, fairly literally. And yet I recognize there may still be issues with that. Anyway, I think the main reason why God reveals it in 6 days and then one day of rest is that that's the pattern we are to copy. We should rest one day a week. But people might say, hang on, doesn't that just open the door wide to saying we can, you know, take the whole thing, it's just, you know, a spiritual story, it didn't really happen, it's just got some things to teach us, some spiritual truths. Well, I don't think so, because the New Testament clearly says some things were historical. So Adam and Eve becoming man and wife, you know, even Christ himself refers to those things as historical facts. As Adam being the head of all humanity, the first man. That's very clear in the New Testament. The flood definitely happened. The New Testament looks back on it as a definitive moment when God judged. If we don't take those things as historical and true, then we might have cause to doubt other things as true, like the future judgment. So they did happen. And I don't think it's simply a spiritual story. So I'd say we do need to be sensitive to the different genre, the different types of writing there are in the Bible. I think that's often a mistake that Christians can make, is we take things literally that may not actually have been intended to be understood literally. But obviously let the Bible be its own interpreter. If the Bible doesn't give you any indication that that might be the case, then beware playing about with its meaning. So let me be totally up front. Why do I think the Bible doesn't necessarily view this as a literal six-day creation? Because in Exodus 31, verse 17, it says that God rested and was refreshed after this day of creation. God doesn't get tired. He doesn't change. Creation didn't wear him out. I think it's a pattern given to us to show us that we should rest and get ourselves refreshed on the seventh day. So it's a picture of creation that shows us the pattern that we should use. And there's various things that point to that, you know, picture kind of nature of language. It's quite poetic. There's lots of repetition there, morning and evening. God said, let there be. And then actually there's a pattern of forming and then filling. We didn't look at this so much, did we, David? I think you preached on this one. A little bit, okay. So days 1 to 3, you've got the forming. So there's light, there's sky between the waters, there's land and seas and vegetation. That's the forming. And then the second set of 3 days is the filling. So you've got the sun, moon and stars in the sky. They're filling the sky. You've got the sea being filled with creatures and the sky being filled with birds and the land being filled with animals and man. So it seems to be a picture just describing in a non-timeline kind of way, what God has done, what God alone has done. The uncreated creator, sovereign over all these things, carefully made it. I lean towards that kind of a view. David, on the other hand, as we've talked about this quite frankly. He leans towards a more literal young earth kind of view. But we both recognize it's a disputable matter, and we're prepared to be corrected. But what determines your faithfulness to Scripture is not so much which view you take as to how you treat those who differ from you. And let all of us be challenged by that. Let's focus on the fact of creation, particularly as we talk with others outside of the church. Let's not focus on how long it took. That's not the big issue in the Bible. So you don't have to disprove evolution or the age of the earth before you can believe Genesis. We believe in a God who created. That's fundamental, not how long it took. And that, you'll be glad to hear, is the longest answer that I've got to give. Most of the others are much shorter, but I just thought I'd put some of my thinking out on the line there to give you a framework for viewing things.